Life out of death is our topic. We continue our look at some of the themes running up to Easter. And today we're in the Gospel of John, and chapter 12. And we've got a story of Jesus that is most enigmatic. We've got six short verses that we're going to look at. And in these short verses, Jesus is going to explain why he has to die and that he has the power over death and he will be resurrected. At this point in John's Gospel, the message is changing from the signs and wonders that John reports, the seven signs that Jesus does in the first half of the Gospel, and we transition through the glorification of Jesus into Easter week and all that means. Well, of course, today our great friend Gordon was down to preach, and Gordon, he loves a prop, doesn't he? He really likes a prop. So we have two things on the table. We've talked about the Easter cross, but here, and for those listening on the podcast, I'm showing a little flower vase with some ears of corn that we picked from a field just outside Cheveley 6 or 7 years ago, and we have this as an ornament in our house. Why would we do that? Well, in 2016, my father-in-law, Colin, died unexpectedly, and it was a great shock to the family. And one of the last photographs we have of Colin is him walking along a long path through a field of corn. And the wheat is kind of this high, and it's in kind of full, ready to be harvested. And we see him walking down this path. It's a warm day. He's got his jacket over his shoulder, and he's looking back at the camera. And we think that photograph says, I'm walking along this path, but don't worry, everything is going to be okay. And this is the photograph that we had on the back of the order of service for his funeral. I'm going this way. It's going to be okay, we think. So that photograph, when we see the wheat, we remember the photograph, and of course we remember Colin. And my prayer today is that if you don't remember anything of what I say, you remember the ears of wheat, and that might help you to remember this talk. In this passage, Jesus uses, it's a parable of a grain of wheat going into the earth and then generating this wonderful kind of ears of wheat that we see. And the parable explains Jesus' death and his resurrection. So let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 20 to 26. In my NIV, this section is captioned, Jesus explains why he must die. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Six short verses, Jesus, once again, not answering the question that he was given, not giving a clear, obvious answer, but speaking in this parable. I want us, before we get stuck in, to carefully think about where this passage occurs in the Gospel of John. What's happened before, John has told us of the seven signs and wonders that Jesus has performed. And the seventh of those is raising Lazarus from the dead. Well, of course, raising Lazarus from the dead shows Jesus has command over death and life and has the power of resurrection. And also, we know in John's gospel, John's mission really is to convince us that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that those who believe in Jesus will have eternal life. And just before this, he's shown that he has the power over death. The other thing I want us to know is that just before this, probably the day before in real time, Jesus has come into Jerusalem with the triumphant entry. And those words I read earlier on, the crowd come out to meet him with palm and fronds. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Well, this story could go one of many different ways. Jesus has shown power over life and death. He's been greeted as the Messiah. And the crowd have enacted that scene from one of the Jewish festivals, and they greet him as the Messiah. But Jesus doesn't come into Jerusalem and act like the Messiah King. He doesn't come in and act as if, you know, the whole of the Jewish nation is kind of under his feet and ahead of him. Jesus has performed miraculous signs, and he's received adulation from the people. And something amazing could be about to happen. You know, Jesus as the Messiah could overthrow the Romans and bring back the Jewish nation into the kind of history that they were promised. But Jesus, with these words, takes us in a different direction. And yet, not the king coming in glory, although he has, but Jesus turns the story around and goes on to talk about his forthcoming death and resurrection. Throughout John's gospel and throughout the gospels, Jesus has already spoken about his power over death and the ability for a resurrection. Earlier in John chapter 10, I have authority to lay down my life and authority to take it up again. He's already spoken about the resurrection. The Greek believers who come and want to see Jesus probably have experienced that raising of Lazarus. And they're probably there the day beforehand and saw the people greeting Jesus as the king. But what do they say? They say, "Sir, we'd like to see Jesus." See Jesus. In the NLT version, we'd like to meet Jesus. Jesus' answer to the Greeks, who might have had a kind of philosophy of rational thought and Gnosticism or Stoicism or all those isms that the Greeks had with their many, many gods, they'd like to see Jesus. They'd like to experience a bit of him. And Jesus doesn't say, "I'm the great king, you know, thank you for coming to see me." He tells this story about how circumstances are going to change greatly in the next few days. Those Greeks were probably expecting, you know, classical Greek philosophy or, you know, logical arguments or rational, logical discourse. Instead, they get a very, very simple parable. And just as an aside, don't we sometimes receive from God what we don't expect? Or don't we not get the answer that we ask for? Maybe we should be like the Greeks and be prepared to find God answering our prayers in different ways. I'm going to make three very brief points on these six verses. The first of them is this. Here, in what Jesus is saying, we transition from signs and wonders to God's plan to redeem mankind. The first thing that Jesus says is this. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The hour has come. Throughout the Gospels, we hear, you could look at John chapter 2, verse 4. Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. John chapter 7, verse 30. No one laid a hand on Jesus because his hour had not yet come. Here, Jesus says, the hour has come. So we're to see this passage as this transition into God's plan for mankind. At this transition, no more signs and wonders and teachings and parables. At this transition, God's plan for mankind starts to be enacted. And step day by day, we move from Greeks speaking to Jesus to Jesus' death and resurrection and glorification. Jesus knows that in just a few short days, he is going to suffer and die. But through this death and his resurrection, his Father will be glorified. All the honor and praise and glory due to God will be revealed through Jesus' resurrection. And what about this parable? This parable should be a clear picture of life after death. Of course, in this time of Jesus, we don't have the benefit of DNA technology and science and crop science and all those things. So when the grain of wheat goes into the soil, it's just like it's died and been buried. But through God's plan for that grain of wheat, the wheat germinates and sends up a little green shoot. And before long, with rain and sunshine, we have the beautiful ears of corn. One grain, tiny little grain that was planted and appears to be dead, flourishes, provides for many, provides the food that we eat and gives us what we need to sustain our lives. One grain, a marvelous, special crop. One death of Jesus, a marvelous, special life and salvation for those who believe in his name. One death, many saved. And again, this isn't a new teaching of Jesus. This is just building up, providing a more detailed account of what he's taught throughout his ministry. You know, the Pharisees, what signs will you show us? Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus explained that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Again, in Matthew 12, Jesus is talking about Jonah and his going into the belly of the fish for 3 days. Jesus makes a comparison. The Son of Man shall be 3 days in the heart of the earth and then be restored to life. So we can be absolutely certain, assured, that Jesus knows about his forthcoming resurrection, that it's God's plan for mankind, and through his humility, he's going to go through that death on the cross to bring us back into fellowship with God. Now, importantly for us, Jesus' death on the cross is the basis for our salvation. We are saved, we are lifted out of the life destined for damnation through our belief and trust in Jesus Christ, through his death and our statement of faith that he died for us. We can be assured of salvation. So with this parable, Jesus is explaining the reason for his death and his resurrection. His death will bring restoration for many people. And Jesus is that sacrificial lamb. Didn't John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, say, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? So Jesus, through God's plan, destined to be our sacrificial lamb. Jesus explains in just a few chapters that through his death, many will be saved. Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." You see, steadily, relentlessly, we're moving from signs and wonders and parables to the fulfillment of God's plan. This talk's titled "Life Out of Death." Well, let's consider whose life is coming out of death. The Greeks wanted to see Jesus. We can sometimes behave like this. We come into church expecting to experience God. We come into church sometimes as a spectator sport. We come and wasn't the worship wonderful, and sometimes didn't the speaker really give a good message? But we're just seeing, we're not experiencing. Jesus is not having any of this from the Greeks. He's not going to let them see him and go back to their friends and say, "Oh, we just met this Jesus. You know, the guy who did that resurrection of Lazarus, we just met him." They didn't have social media at the time, of course, didn't they? But you could imagine the kind of posts, "Oh, you never guess what we did. Here's a photograph of me meeting, you know, the Messiah King." Jesus doesn't have any of that at all. Jesus has been acknowledged as the Messiah King, but he's not having that. He's not the great warrior king that the people of Israel are expecting. No, he's the sacrificial lamb. Yes, he is a king to be worshipped. He does deserve glory and praise and honor. But this king deserves service and not only praise. Listen to the words that Jesus said. "Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." So for us to enjoy the fullness of the life that God created for us in this life and the next, we can't just see Jesus. We can't just step into church and read our Bible and pray. We have to set aside the earthly things that separate us from God. Advantage, security, power, pleasure, all these earthly things that separate us. John calls it in this account, hating his life in this world. And as we turn away from those earthly pleasures to God and to Jesus, we turn to him, we follow the teaching of Jesus, we set our time aside to follow him, we make our lives of worship to Jesus, not just on a Sunday morning, but our lives to be lives of worship. And then we'll be living lives in communion with God. And this is the eternal life that Jesus is talking about. Not eternal life when we die, but eternal life starting right now when we turn to Jesus and say, we worship you and we give our lives to you. When we live lives of service and worship, that's when the eternal life begins. So I think life out of death, whose life is our lives that come out of death through Jesus' death and resurrection. And if we want to walk in the glory of God, to receive the honor from the Father and experience fullness of life, we have to turn to Jesus. We have to take that small little seed of his message of life and death and resurrection and plant that little seed into our hearts. And then we let the Spirit of God bring that seed into flourishing and growth and fullness. And with that seed of the message in our hearts, we can have a harvest of fullness of life that we're promised. I'm going to invite Pete and Joe up, and we're going to continue in prayer in just a moment. And we're going to sing the song, Christ is Enough for Me. This is going to be our prayer as we finish the talk, that Christ is enough for us. We don't need all the trappings of life. Let Christ be enough. Sorry, Pete.